Beaverbrook Motors is located in Runnymede, New Jersey. They offer fast and reliable towing, as well as emergency road services. In addition, Beaverbrook Motors offers a full-service collision center. Beaverbrook Motors is conveniently located at 1253 North Black Horse Pike in Runnymede, New Jersey, 08078. For more information, call 856-931-8882 or check out beaverbrookmotors.com. We are now on the line with Michael Kingston. He is the writer and creator of Headlock the Comic. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and like I said previously, you are with Dean and Dan. And I just wanted to start out, now, what was your background? Obviously, probably some type of art career, I imagine. But what was your background to get started in the comic book industry?
Actually, the beauty of comic books is you don't necessarily have to have a background. It's kind of a results-based thing, you know. If you can do it, you can do it, you know. I have a biochemistry degree, and I've been a lifelong wrestling fan, a lifelong comic book fan, and I just kind of taught myself how to do it.
So when exactly did you start writing, not necessarily this story, but when did you start writing stories at all?
I'd say maybe 2004 I started working on stuff. But Headlock is really my first published work. I mean, I've had stuff since Headlock came out, just here and there. But Headlock is really sort of my passion project and what I focus the bulk of my time on.
What was, I guess, get into it, what was the inspiration to start writing Headlock? And
There's two reasons. First of all, yes, as a lifelong wrestling and comic book fan, like, I was always, you know, I would always get excited whenever wrestling comics would come out, and then I would be followed by the invariable, you know, disappointment. There were just a lot of really bad wrestling comics that had come out over the years, and they were just, you know, they were licensed books that somebody bought to try to cash in on wrestling or, you know, sell some action figures or whatever, and they were just never very good. You could kind of tell that, you know, somebody was just there to make a quick buck. And, you know, in some cases, you could sort of feel the tone of derision. I mean, I think a lot of times if people aren't wrestling fans and they have to do a wrestling project, you know, you can sort of feel the sort of contempt they have for the source material. I mean, you take something like, say, Ready to Rumble, you know, and they made the protagonist idiot wrestling fans, you know. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, so, I mean, there was just never anything there for me, and I always felt like, you know, there's such a crossover, and so many wrestlers love comics, and so many wrestling fans love comics, and, you know, so I just decided that I would write a wrestling comic book that I, as a wrestling fan, would want to read.
Now, go ahead. No, please elaborate. Go.
And then the other side, you know, I guess if you've been a wrestling fan for any length of time, you're often called on to defend your fandom by people. So, you know, ultimately when it's all said and done, I mean, you know, Headlock sort of my defense of my wrestling fandom. You know, I want to tell an entertaining story that sort of educates people, you know, in some fashion about, you know, a lot of the nuances and the sort of the beauty of the art of wrestling. And, you know, hopefully if people keep an open mind, you know, change a few minds.
Now, you touched upon it. There have been some terrible, terrible wrestling comics that have come out in the last, 25 years. What, in your mind, did you think that this comic would even fly?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I love wrestling, and I know a lot of people love wrestling. So, I guess I count on the sort of the passion that everybody involved with the book has, you know, if people will give it a chance, that they'll like it, you know. And I think that's been universally true. I haven't I'm not going to tell you that there haven't been people who haven't liked it, but, I mean, no one's ever told me they haven't liked it. You know, I mean, I get a lot of emails from people that say they like it, and, you know, obviously, if you see the laundry list of people that I have helping me out, you know, I've impressed some pretty famous people, or, you know, in wrestling and comics and whatnot. So it's just, I think the only thing that we struggle from is that we're independent on both fronts, not being affiliated with a major publisher or affiliated with a wrestling promotion. So, but I think it's there, and I think, you know, people like it. It's just a matter of getting out in front of people and having them, you know, just give it a chance.
All right, well, you decide, okay, I want to write a comic book. What is the first step to getting a comic book done?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I tell you, I mean, I've been a fan of comics my whole life. I've been reading them since I was 8 years old. But, you know, you just don't have any idea about, like, the inner workings of the business. And interestingly enough, the comic and the wrestling business have a lot more in common than you would think. Mm. But, you know, so in my mind, I wrote up a script and a pitch and a marketing plan, and I took it to conventions, and I started talking to smaller publishers. And the first thing they would say to me is, well, where's your art? I'm like, no, I'm a writer. Why would I have art? And they're like, well, that's how this works. And I'm like, well, you're a publisher. Wouldn't it make more sense for you to have an artist to match me up with? And they're like, no, you got to find an artist. And I'm like, again, you know what I mean? Like, it would be so much easier for you. Why wouldn't we just do this? I mean, you've acknowledged that you think it's a good idea and that my marketing plan is sound. So why wouldn't you just find an artist and put this out? And I'm like, yeah, that's just not how it works. So I went off and I found an artist, and they didn't like that artist. So then I found another artist. And then that particular artist had sort of, you know, some personal turmoil in his life, and we couldn't get a lot done. And then I got another artist who ended up being Randy Valiente, who, you know, people did like Randy, and he was able to produce the work, you know, in a timely fashion necessary to put the book out. So, you know, from there we put out a couple of issues. But, I mean, it's a process and a half, and it's not really intuitive, and it doesn't, you know, from a person, you know, I've worked in management my whole life, and I'm all about process and efficiency, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's their rules, and you kind of have to play by them, so.
Well, how did you go about building a team? Obviously, like you said, you were a writer. So how did you go about building a team, like getting artists, getting letterers, all this stuff? How did you wind up getting all that together?
Eventually, like, I was part of a studio, and, you know, there were different people affiliated with the studio, and, you know, people know people, friends of friends of friends, you know, and then you just kind of find people, you know, DeviantArt is a good site, Digital Webbing is, like, has classified ads and stuff. My original Randy I found through a friend that had done a story with him. And then my colorist at the time was Jessica, who was recommended to me from a friend. And then the letterer was also recommended to me by somebody else, Jason, who's still the letterer to this day.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, and then, I mean, our new artist I met, you know, just I had put out the book, and I was selling it shows. And then I met Michael, who's actually a wrestler who runs a comic book store and an artist, who's doing the art on this book, and I met him at San Diego, and he actually came by the table and bought a copy of the book, and, you know, and it was kind of, when we hooked up and started collaborating, I think, you know, I felt like we were really ready to take the book to the next level.
So how did it wind up that you got some of the wrestlers involved in this? I'm not sure how far I'm jumping forward with that question, but like, how did you get Jerry Lawler to do some covers, and how did you get some of the stories that you got?
Well, Jerry was the first guy attached. You know, after I did the first book, and it came out in stores, and, you know, I drove to every comic book store in three states, and I talked to them all, and everybody said they knew wrestling fans or regular customers. And then in the next breath, they said, yeah, we don't carry indies. And I was like, but you said you have, you know, people that would like this. So why would you turn down money? But, you know, sometimes, you know, and there's a lot of great comic book store owners out there, don't get me wrong, but there are obviously some that live up to the stereotype of the guy in The Simpsons, of a guy who didn't want to get a job and threw his long box up on tables, and they're not necessarily business savvy or whatever. So, I mean, I had a heck of a time, and I came to the realization that comic book store owners generally order off of publisher strength. So I knew that if I was going to have to go anywhere, I was going to have to get a stronger publisher, or, you know, or something to raise my profile. So I just emailed Jerry through his website, which, you know, was such like a long shot. Like, I forgot I did it after I did it. Like, it was such a, like a random thing. I was just sitting there one day and I was like, you know, and I emailed him, and like a week later he emailed me back, and it blew my mind because I had forgotten that I had done it. Like, it was such a, like a whim. And he's like, send me some books. So I sent him some books, and, about a week after that, he called me up and said he would do it. And, you know, he's done two covers already. This will be the third. And he's doing all the covers going forward. We do conventions together. We're going to be in New York Comic Con in October. You know, we've probably done like a dozen conventions together. And, I mean, I consider the man a friend now, which is kind of unreal when you think about it. I mean.
Jesus. It's Jerry the King Lawler. It's like, he's my friend. We chat every now and then.
I know, and I mean, I used to trade for Memphis tapes as a kid, so, I mean, like, it was, you know, I mean, it's totally surreal to me, like, you know, we've hung out socially, you know, and it amazes me. I mean, he's the nicest guy, and just a super down-to-earth guy for all the success he's had, and, you know, I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, like, I always kind of consider him to be, like, sort of my Andy Kaufman, you know, like, the sort of guy who... I wouldn't have had the level of success I had without him doing it, but he's doing it, you know, he's doing it because he loves comic book art and covers and stuff, you know, so.
Once you got the team together, how long did it actually take to finish and put out that first issue?
Well, we did the first four issues. The first issue was double-sized, and we did that, and, you know, it generally takes about 30 days to put together a book, and then we did a mini series after that of three issues, and then you know, I realized that we were going to have to do something different to, you know, if we were going to make the book viable. I mean, what people don't realize a lot of times is that comic books are expensive to make because it's all, you know, it's hand-drawn art, so
yeah.
You know, they're expensive to make and you don't sell them for a lot of money, so you need volume to be able to make it a sustainable business. I mean, I know in my heart, like, I'll never make a dime off of this book, and I really don't care about that. I mean, I do it because I love it, you know, but my artists, you know, they're full-time artists, and they need to, you know, obviously keep their electric on, so, you know, I pay all of my artists,
you know,
to be able to work on the book, so you need a certain level of sales to make it, you know, self-sustaining. You know, so I've been sort of haggling with comic book companies for the last 2 years, you know, because people say you need to have enough work to prove that you can do it, but not too much that they feel like they're jumping on too late. So, you know, we had put the it was 120 pages, and we collected it in an edition. I was selling them at shows, and, you know, we always sell great at conventions and stuff. But you can't really prove that to anybody because it's a, you know, it's a cash business, and, you know, anybody can say anything. So, you know, for me, I guess that's, you know, kind of jumping ahead. The Kickstarter is such an important thing for me because it's a number that I can show people and say, hey, this is what we raised. So, but, you know, so, you know, I've been haggling with comic book companies, and, you know, I'd like to keep my rights to the book, which is, you know, sort of a bone of contention with some. And, you know, some people just think wrestling comics, you know, if you don't understand wrestling, you just look at it, it's another wrestling comic, and wrestling comics don't sell, and wrestling fans can't read. I've heard all kinds of, you know, nonsense, stereotypes, you know, and that sort of, you know, the tone of derision. I mean, I talked to a publisher, he's like, sure, pitch me your book, and I got three words out of my mouth, and the third word was wrestling, and he said, not interested. Didn't even let me finish, cut me off on the third word. So... Huh. you know, it's tough. I mean, obviously, you know, and I always find it funny that people that are in a business that's marginalized would marginalize another business. You would think, you know, people that produce comics wouldn't be so short-sighted, because obviously I'm sure that they have to deal with the same type of stigma from people who are like, oh, comics are for kids, or, you know, whatever. But obviously they're not, you know, they don't have to be that way, and a lot of times they aren't. So I find that to be, you know, an unusual attitude, but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, Over the years, I've been lucky enough to impress a couple of people with what we've done, and, you know, when I decided that I was going to do this Kickstarter, I just decided to, you know, get everybody that had ever offered me, you know, to help out, and, you know, kind of take it to the people and come at it with, you know, with both guns blazing.
So, you got your first couple issues done and out the door. What did it feel like when you finally started seeing, not necessarily money, obviously you said there wasn't really money coming in, but what did it feel like when you got your first sales out the door and the book was moving?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you know, and I mean, it's been amazing, because obviously, like, I mean, right from the very first issue, you know, like, Rob Van Dam came to my table at San Diego. He was just walking around as a fan and got a copy of the book, and then, like, you know, emailed me to tell me that he loved it. And, you know, the same with Shane Helms, and, you know, I've had, you know, people in comics, like, you know, writers and people who I respect come to tell me that they like it, and, you know, a lot of wrestlers have liked it, and that's been great, you know, like, just, yeah. It's very, when somebody you respects something that you've done, I think, you know, that's one of the best feelings in the world, so.
Yeah.
I've been blessed with that, you know.
Now, I'm looking at the list of, you call them guest contributors, and you have Ken Anderson, you have Sin Bodhi, you have Christopher Daniels, Shane Helms, known as the Hurricane, Beth Phoenix, Jill Thompson, Rob Van Dam, as you just got into. Now, how are they involved in the project going forward? Or how did they get involved? Actually, it's a two-part question. How did they get involved, and what is their contribution going forward?
Well, all of them, at various points, you know, they told me they liked the book, and, you know, if there was ever anything they could do to help, you know, Ken had asked if he could do art, you know, he'd come up to me at a show and just was like, hey, he goes, you know, can I do some art for this? I was like, absolutely. You know, you know, all these people just, you know, they like what I'm doing, and I think everybody appreciates the fact that, you know, I try to be respectful towards the craft of wrestling and the art of wrestling, and I think they all recognize my passion for, you know, wrestling itself, and they're all wrestling fans, and all the, you know, the wrestlers are passionate about comics and art, and the comic book people that are affiliated with the book are passionate about wrestling, and, you know, so, I mean, I've been lucky enough that I've just got a lot of people that are just willing to try to help me get to the next level. The way it's going to work is we're doing a 150-page book. It's going to be the next five chapters of Headlocked, and that's written by me with my artist, Michael Molopova. And then Rob and Shane and Christopher Daniels are doing short stories, and Beth Phoenix and Ken and Sin are doing pinups. Jill Thompson is going to be supplying the chapter breaks in between each chapter, you know, painted chapter breaks. And then we just announced this actually yesterday, but Judah Freeliner from 30 Rock is writing the introduction to the book.
Oh!
He came up to me at WrestleCon last year and was just like, dude, I love your book. And, you know, that kind of blew my mind. He's like, let's take a picture and we'll tweet it out. And, you know, he's a huge wrestling fan, you know. So yeah, I think we've gotten, you know, we've got a Hall of Famer. We got a couple of world champs. We got an Eisner Award winner. I think we got a pretty impressive roster of guest artists and such.
Talk to the fans out there of wrestling. I don't want you to give anything away. Obviously, this is a continuing story, but give us a brief synopsis, if you will, of Headlocked.
Headlock is the story of a kid who's a college theater major, and he falls in love with wrestling sort of unexpectedly. And the story chronicles his sort of journey through the wrestling business. He falls in love with wrestling, and he quits school, and it's, you know, he wants to become a wrestler, and it's, you know, on one part of it, it's sort of he learns the wrestling business. We kind of learn it through his eyes. So we're sort of examining the craft of wrestling through the eyes of a performance artist. But at the same time, sort of the girl gets off the bus in Hollywood kind of story as he sort of navigates the underbelly of the wrestling business, trying to break in, get to the bright lights and the big stage. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, you see it on TV. You know, for most fans, they see it on TV and they obviously don't understand. You know, if somebody's on TV, they've probably been in the business 7 years or 10 years, and you don't, you know, really know all the things that they've had to go through to get to that point. So, you know, I think it's sort of like a cable drama almost in tone, you know, like if HBO or AMC had a wrestling show. But at the same time, we're trying to sort of, you know, look at wrestling as an art form, which is why we use so many wrestlers to contribute to the book artistically, because that sort of just furthers the theme.
And now this part is going to be a nerd question. Does it take place in a quote-unquote alternate universe and everything is a made-up character, or will there be real wrestlers making appearances throughout the stories?
No, it's totally, I mean, the wrestlers are all fictional, with one exception. We have a character that's based off of Sean Daivari's likeness. He's probably one of the biggest comic book fans, like comic book wrestling fans, and he was so excited about the book, and he wanted to be in it, so, you know, I used his likeness, I made a character, and we used his name and whatnot, but, you know, it's not, he's sort of an ongoing character, but not, like, a major character, but he's just kind of there, and he was very excited to be a part of it, and, you know, again, I've had wrestlers like beg me to be in this book, and I've had people have their agents call me and stuff, which I think blows my mind because I'm a little independent wrestling comic. But you know, we're not trying to put anybody over or sell action figures or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I need to ask people if they can name like 12 Avengers that aren't in the movie, and maybe I'd consider putting them in the book. But you know, we just want to tell our story, and I don't want to have to worry about who's going to get butthurt because I made him do something in a scene or, you know, whatever. I don't want to have to balance egos. I just want to tell the story as it, you know, as the character sort of necessitated. I mean, a lot of times the characters end up taking the story in places that you don't necessarily expect. I don't want to have to worry about hurting somebody's feelings.
Okay, I'm looking at the Kickstarter right now. First of all, why Kickstarter? Why did you decide to go there to raise the funds?
Well, I think that, you know, like I said, we sell a lot of books at shows. You know, people like it. And I think this is our way to prove to people. I mean, if we had just put it in a comic book store as an independent thing, you know, it would have been the same deal. Like, you know, people wouldn't order it. You know, retailers wouldn't order it. People wouldn't be able to get their hands on it. You know, so we live in like this ass backwards society now, where you sort of have to prove something is marketable before it exists. Otherwise, you know, it's sequel, reboot, remake, etc. So, you know, without having brand awareness, proving marketability is tough. So, you know, we decided to do that with Kickstarter. I mean, obviously everybody goes through it. I mean, Spike Lee just had to fund his next movie through Kickstarter. And, you know, I think people have, you know, oh, well, Spike Lee's famous, he can do what he wants, but it's not that way. I mean, I think if you want to be able to keep your creative freedom and not have something be editorial driven, I mean, you know, and that's what worries me about the rights to the book. I mean, I don't want to end up with it, you know, turning into some sort of farce and like Headlock's body slamming its way to stores near you. I mean, I don't want to do anything like that. You know, I just want to, and I think, you know what I mean? I think you need somebody who's, you know, who's got a fair amount of passion for the stuff to keep it, you know, to keep it on that level. So I just don't want it to get, you know, run over in editorial and that kind of stuff. So I feel like Kickstarter is the perfect way to sort of like, hey, look, the way it is right now, people like it. you know, we've made some money, and, you know, so just let me keep doing it and stay out of my way.
Now, I'm looking at it right now. As of right now, you have 330 backers. You have raised over $19,000, and the goal was $16,000. You still have 14 days. It was a 60-day period that you put up there. First of all, how's it feel to actually hit that goal? Because I'm sure when you thought about it, like $16,000, that's a lot of money to ask really complete strangers on the internet to help you out with. I mean, how did you feel first getting that goal? And then I have a follow up.
Well, obviously, I mean, it was definitely it was so gratifying. Like, I mean, we had raised a fair amount of money. I mean, we had like $5,000 in the first 4 days, and it was nice to know that, you know, people were turning out to support us, because you never know. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of projects die on Kickstarter too. I mean, it's not like this is a cold project. I mean, this is something that I put a good chunk of my life into, and this, you know, to hang it out on the internet for judgment is one of the most nerve-wracking things that you'll ever do. I mean, I literally check my email every 5 minutes. I bet you my left thumb probably left a Buick right now. I haven't slept more than 3 consecutive hours since the 2nd of July. I mean,
oh, wow.
I wake up, I check my email, you know, I'm always thinking about, you know, who can I talk to, or, you know, how can I get in front of more people, because it's awareness for me. It's, you know, it's getting in front of enough people. So, you know, the people that are the types that would, you know, would pledge to something like this, you know about it and find out about it. It's tough, you know. I mean, I've watched guys just try to rely on Twitter or Facebook to get stuff done, and, you know, I've watched them flame out. So, I mean, I'm pounding the pavement and doing signings, doing conventions, just trying to get in front of anybody and everybody that I can, so they can just, you know, see what we got going on.
All right, and then the follow-up, right now it's called the stretch period.
Yeah.
You're trying to get more money. Now, what are the goals you're trying to reach at this point? Now that the initial goal was met, what's the stretch period goals?
If we can get to 21,000, I think it's 21,500, we're going to give people an additional 48 pages of bonus content. The obviously, Headlocked follows, you know, Mike Hartman and his journey. So it's sort of, you know, tunnel vision based on what he knows about wrestling, but obviously the wrestling world is a lot bigger than what he sees. So we've got 48 pages of short stories and pin-ups and bios and whatnot, sort of fleshing out the universe, you know, building little corners that we can take him into later, introducing people into different promotions and stuff that exist in the universe. So it just sort of adds a lot of meat to it. And a lot of the stories are a lot of fun. You know, it just gives us a chance to do different kinds of things. And that's the types of stories that we're going to get out of Chris and Rob and Shane, you know, just helping sort of flesh out the universe. So then later on, you know, we can steer, you know, Mike through those things. And then the other stretch goal is at 23,000, and this actually just came up today, so I'm very excited about it. But we had an offer for the guy that did our trailer was going to do a motion comic for us if we can get to 23,000, fully voiced, almost like a cartoon, which I think would be fantastic. I'm really kind of excited about that, so I really, really want to get to 23,000. I think kind of after I got to 15, and, you know, I think I took my foot off the gas in the last week or so, but, you know, I really want to get to 23, because I think that'll be so cool to have something like that. And the benefit of, for people who donate to the Kickstarter, most of the stuff that we have is only for the people who back us. So, like, the book that we're doing is only for Kickstarter supporters. So, like, we'll reprint the Headlock stuff to sell at conventions, but all the wrestling content, all the stories by Rob and Chris and Shane and the Jerry Lawler cover and all that stuff, that's only going to be for people who back us on Kickstarter. So And then the same thing with the motion comic. If we produce this motion comic, it's only going to be, we're only going to give it to the people who back us on Kickstarter, because this is the most important thing. Like, the number that we generate is the most important thing to the future of our property, and we want to come up with something really cool for everybody that's helping us out, because, you know, it is a leap of faith, you know, to support anybody on Kickstarter. And, you know, I'm so incredibly grateful for everybody's support. So, you know, sometimes people do Kickstarters and it's something you can end up going to buy later on, you know. I wanted to give everybody, you know, something really, really cool that they couldn't get anywhere else.
Now, I have a little bit of a fanboy question. I'm looking in your site the last couple days for the Headlock comic, and I see a lot of pictures taken at a lot of cons with a lot of, I say, legends in this business. Somebody like Roddy Piper and Kevin Nash, is there somebody that actually read the book and gave you feedback, or just was a photo op?
Some of them, like, picked up the book, flipped through it or whatever. You know, everybody's always been more than willing to help out. You know, some people, you know, have read it and come back and told me they liked it. You know, some people, you know, they're like, oh, I looked at the art's really cool, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it depends on, it's varying levels depending on, you know, the person involved. Some people are, like, I met Dennis Miller at a show, and he was just like, hey, he goes, you know, you want me to, he goes, you want me to take a picture with me holding this thing up? It sounds really cool. And I was like, sure, you know. So, you know, which to me is really cool of Dennis Miller to just randomly do that, you know. But, you know, it depends, I guess, on the people. I mean, everybody that's given me feedback has given me very, very good feedback. So that's very gratifying, because you don't want to, you know, you kind of want to walk a line of not stepping on people's toes, but at the same time, you still want to be able to tell an entertaining story, so it's tricky.
Other than initial, roadblocks from the looking for a publisher, has anybody tried to or inadvertently discouraged you on getting this done at all?
No, you know, I think, I don't know, everybody's been super supportive, you know, and it's funny because, you know, you hear all kinds of, if you get, you know, into the internet and whatever, and wrestling, you hear all these horrible stories about people and, you know, all the carny nonsense and whatever, and everybody I've met has been so nice and so supportive. And
that's good,
you know,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, like, there's a need, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, you hear people say bad stuff about, like, a guy like Greg Valentine. But Greg Valentine's been so nice to me. Like, every time I meet him, he's just been super friendly and super supportive. And, you know, like, I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, I don't have a financial relationship with anybody. So I think, you know, maybe that's different. But, you know, I mean, everybody that I've met in the business has been super fantastic. And I don't know. I don't know what everybody else sees.
Now, how are some of the ways that you were getting the name out there of Headlocked? You're like, some of the conventions that you've gone to, some that you have planned. You said New York Comic Con you have coming up. What's some ways that you are trying to get the name out there for people?
You know, we do everything we can, really. I mean, obviously, I go to as many conventions as my, sort of, you know, my real life job will allow me to do. You know, we had a little run here with the Kickstarter, because we did Florida SuperCon in Miami and San Diego Comic Con, and then Wizard Chicago, and doing Baltimore next week. So, you know, I try to get to whatever I can. Maybe WrestleCon last year, and that's been the thing. You know, I think, you know, being able to connect with people on a personal level, just because I think when people get to talk to me and they see what we're doing and they see what we're about, you know, I mean, it's one thing to just be like, oh, it's a wrestling comic or whatever. I mean, you know, and there's people we get from that, from like Facebook and Twitter or whatever, but, you know, a good chunk of what we've done, or a lot of the success we've had, I mean, has been through sort of personal connections. Or people, you know, people who might have come for the, you know, from some of the stars we have attached, and then they see what we got going on, and, you know, hopefully stick around.
All right. And now, how's a way that people can... Whoop, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just heard... It was an echo. But how are some ways that people can follow this, either on the Kickstarter or through your Twitter? I know you're very active on your Twitter, so... how are some ways that people can follow you?
Well, everything that we have affiliated with the book is Headlocked Comic, one word. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's my Xbox gamer tag if anybody wants to play. You know, it's pretty, we try to make it simple for people to be able to get a hold of us. I mean, it's all me. And then the Kickstarter is through the Kickstarter website, which is Kickstarter.com, and then you just look up Headlock the Last Territory. And that is where our project is there. Yeah, we're pretty easy to get a hold of.
So if there was one way that you could pitch this to people to support the Kickstarter, to support the comic, how would you wrap it all up for them? How would you get them to support you and believe in the project?
I mean, I guess I feel like just give it a chance. If you like wrestling, if you like comics, if you like cable dramas, if you're, you know, the type of person who's ever wanted to chase a dream, you know, we got a little something for everybody in this book. You know, it's accessible to anybody. You don't have to know anything about wrestling beyond what it is to follow it. You know, we've tried to make it accessible to everybody, you know, to people. We try to make it engaging for hardcore fans, but accessible to, you know, to people who are just, you know, have a casual understanding of the business. You know, I say give it a shot, you know. We've had a lot of people tell us that we couldn't do it, and, you know, I'd like to make them eat a little crow. So, you know, help me out.
All right. Michael, I do want to thank you for your time. This is a little, you know, it's a little late for us, but it was a pleasure, and I really wanted to get this in before the Kickstarter ended. And make sure, like Michael said, go to the Kickstarter, search for Headlocked, and you'll find it there. And you can support it for as little as a dollar, right? I mean,
right. And I mean, we have some pretty reasonable stretch. I mean, if we hit our 21.5 stretch goal, you could get 350 pages of digital content for $20, which I think is pretty good. I think, you know, you can pretty much get almost, you know, everything that we've done so far. And I think that's, I mean, if you knew how much money that sort of stuff costs to create, it's a hell of a deal. You know, and if we hit 23, you'll get a free motion comic that is going to be cool as hell. So I really want to get to that.
Oh, that was the question. I finally remembered it. It is, how can people get past issues? Is there a way that they can get, like, back issues for this, or is there no
you
way?
You can order, point? Yeah, you can order the, we have a collected edition. You can order through our website on headlockcomic.com, and there's also reward tiers in the Kickstarter where you can get both books. And then, you know, you get the we're giving people the chapters of the book digitally as they get finished, so they don't have to wait until the very, very end to read it. The wrestling content will all come with the physical copy of the book.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm really excited about this because you don't see a project like this happen every day.
No, sir.
You seem like a great guy, and certainly thank you for taking up this time to speak with us, Michael. And best of luck with the Kickstarter and the future.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.